go. The men in blue, the Chicago Cubs win again, 8-6 over the Washington Nationals, leaders of the NL East. A huge, huge win, not only for the team, but, I mean, for the fans who came out in droves today to kick off what is going to be a long, awesome, hot summer at Wrigley Field. Sam Panionovich was there. Sam, welcome to the show. I kind of looked when I saw it. I was like, are we talking about, like, three people to every seat in that place?
Yeah, well, I texted you and Pete at about 3:30, and I said, look, you know, this place is jamming. And I got to the park earlier today, you know, waited to see what type of crowd it would be. But for a team coming into today, it was 21-6, best in baseball. This place was loaded at about 12:45. It was already jammed. I mean, the game hadn't even started yet, you know, and you got people that are walking in already buzzed. They've been drinking all day. You know how Wrigley is when it's kicking, and Pete knows the same. People get here early. They stay late. But there were 40,000 people here at 1:20 on a Friday.
In May.
To watch first place baseball in May, Cubs and Nationals, and the Cubs outlasted them. That's 8-6. But this felt like it was July. I sat in the bleachers today for probably three innings, and it's 80 degrees. People are spilling beer everywhere. It's gorgeous. There's barely any clouds in the sky, and the team is beating a really good team. So, I mean, this is your prototypical quintessential afternoon day at Wrigley Field. It was awesome.
It's unreal to think about. I mean, last year was such a great run to pick up where they left off. And not only that, they're getting to the point where it's lore. I mean, this team is 22-6, and it's the hottest start in the history of baseball. I mean, this is something that no one could have predicted.
JK, that's a college basketball record. I mean, that's, you know, North Carolina at the end of the season. That's Kentucky at the end of the season. You know, you're 23-6 or 24-6. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I asked Joe Madden about that. I said, what is it like to only lose six games through only 30? And he said, you know what? I try and stay out of the way because everybody is here. They're here for the right reason. You know, they got swept to the NLCS last year against the Mets. There's unfinished business there. You've got a bunch of good players. You've got three or four really good pitchers. You've got probably one of the better bullpens in the league. You've got the best manager in the league. There's a lot going here on the north side. And, you know, Madden says, I'm going to stay out of the way because everybody's been groomed here to embrace the big moment. And, you know, Tommy La Stella today, again, an RBI. You know, Ben Zobrist today, two home runs. Anthony Rizzo hit one. I don't think it's landed yet. And he's an MVP candidate. You just got everybody on this roster. Any given day, they can come in during a big moment, and they have enough confidence because of their manager and because of the culture that they can come in and they can deliver. And this team is 22-6 through 28 games.
And what's amazing about it is they're 22-6 without Kyle Schwarber, without Jason Hayward, which is a huge. I mean, he's been out with a wrist injury. I mean, this team has been doing it with the backups and people that were coming in as utility players.
Yeah, it's a super team. It really is. There's enough depth. They've drafted well enough, and they've been taking pretty much hitters the last 4 or 5 years in the first round and then scattering pitchers throughout. But they've got some impact bats that can come in during an injury spell. I mean, like you mentioned, Schwarber goes off first week of the year. Hayward's kind of been on the shelf. Bryant missed a day with an ankle roll. There's enough depth here, and there's still more depth to come. That's what's crazy about it. You know, the baseball, the business side of things here at Wrigley Field, they are both moving up and to the right, and it's a great scene to see. And I'll tell you what's different. You know, you think about the 03 team and, you know, the 07 team and the 08 team. When free agents came in, there was a lot of pressure on these free agent players that came in, and they sort of wilted under that pressure. This group, it's the opposite. You go 180. You know, these guys come in and they embrace the challenge, and they wear shirts that says embrace the target. And, you know, Jason Hayward's been in the playoffs. John Lackey's been in the playoffs. Ben Zobrist has a World Series ring. They brought in the right guys that bring championship pedigrees, and that was what was missing last year, guys that had been there, guys that had done that. And they have that now amongst this roster. So they addressed it perfectly.
Okay, so from your vantage point, what is the weakest point of this super team? What are the things that if you look towards a trade deadline or you look to, you know, improving a 22-6 record, what would you say has to be or could be improved?
you know, the biggest weakness last year was they didn't put balls in play in the postseason. They faced the Mets. Guys came in throwing 95, 96, 97, and they struck out too much. They addressed that in the offseason.
Well, Max Scherzer was there's a good example today. Max Scherzer is an ace.
They pounded him. This is a guy that just signed a max contract, $200 million. This is supposed to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. And this lineup shelled him. I mean, they kicked him out of the game in like the fifth or sixth inning. This is supposed to be a guy who is one of the elite pitchers in the game, and they had seven hits and I think seven runs off of him. So, you know, there are on days, there are off days, and I'm sure this is one of Max Scherzer's worst days. That being said, I mean, you can't take away what this team did to Washington and won the series in Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh and Washington are two really good teams.
They're playoff teams.
And they've been blasting them. They've been up pretty much every inning, you know, aside from a couple losses. But, I mean, like, the Cubs have been in control here. It's their team. It's their time. And, you know, if they stay healthy, they're going to be making a run into the Final Four. They're going to be in the NLCS no matter what.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, to watch this happen, it's even hard to talk about it. I mean, I hate the excellence that we're seeing at 22-6 almost makes it boring.
I mean, you try not to overrate it, too, but, I mean, they're on pace for 100 wins.
Plus.
I mean, that
hasn't
been
done. 120 wins.
Well, okay, even more. I mean, they're going to get over 100, though. And, you know, Len Casper made this point on TV the other day. He said that they may have the best offense, the best defense, the best pitching staff in the rotation, the best bullpen, and the best manager. I mean, you never are able to say that about a baseball team because it's so random and there's so many guys. I mean, 25 guys on a team. That being said, though, this mix is special. And I'll tell you what's the most interesting about our entire conversation here. We haven't spent a red second on the White Sox.
No, we will.
And they're in first place, too.
We're going to do that right after the break. Sam Panayanovich is with us talking Cubs and Sox. I mean, this is unprecedented to have two teams that are playing at this level. The White Sox winning tonight against Minnesota. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about the South Side. Sam, stick with us. Sam Panayanovich joining us to talk about the unbelievable start for Chicago baseball. And it's just what Chicago needs because, you know, they're trying to figure out how to do frozen on ice over at the United Center for the next month after both of those teams exited. Bulls didn't even make the playoffs. But the Cubs and Sox deliver for sports fans both in first place. The White Sox right now leading the Twins 5-4 in the fifth inning. Todd Frazier at the plate. Sam Panayanovich joins me now. The White Sox, way more of a surprise than the Cubs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about, you know, where we stood in the early part of March, you look at the Cubs as being World Series favorites, and the White Sox were sort of near the middle, maybe more towards the third rung out of four, you know, in that 50-75% range, that they weren't really going to make much noise. And right now, first place in the AL Central, four games up on the Tigers, I believe. But they're, you know, overshadowed by how good the Cubs are. You know, the Cubs are ahead of everybody. They're on top of the mountain right now. But the White Sox are probably the third or fourth best team in baseball, and they're being overshadowed by the team from the North. I mean, this team is pitching probably better than anybody with Chris Sale, Jose Quintana, Matt Latos has been a surprise, the best bullpen in the league, and timely hitting. So, I mean, both teams realistically, Justin, at this point in time, we're in the first week of May, you've got two first-place teams, and yesterday, for the first time ever, you had four first-place teams playing in Chicago. You had the White Sox against the Red Sox and the Cubs and Nationals. So, I mean, that's a big deal. And I asked Rob Manfred about that. I said, you know, what does it mean to have two teams in one of your biggest markets do well? And he said point blank, when the biggest teams in our biggest markets are playing well, it's good for business. So it's a good thing for baseball to have both the Cubs and the White Sox playing extremely well.
The White Sox, you know, this week, surprisingly, even though his play was deteriorating, released John Danks, who was essentially the fifth starter for the squad. They brought up Eric Johnson yesterday. He didn't pitch well. We're seeing Latos tonight struggle. I mean, the one thing I would wonder about is the back end of the starting pitching rotation. Talk about that. What are some of the options for the White Sox to replace John Danks?
They gave Danks about five tries. You know, they gave him an opportunity. That was the plan. You know, I feel like they have four good starters. The fifth one's a problem. It's a problem pretty much across Major League Baseball. It's hard to find a good fifth starter. So let's remember that first and foremost. That being said, John Danks, I think, got four or five tries. He was 0-for-4 with an ERA in the seventh. And that was enough for Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, Jerry Reinsdorf, to pull the lawnmower back and get Danks out and, you know, pretty much cut him essentially. So they're just trying to prove to this team that if you can't perform and if you can't contribute to winning ball games, there's no room for you.
Right.
And at the end of the day, sports is a business. It's about going where you should be. You know, if you're in first place, continue the trend, get into the postseason. That's the message that was sent. They're here to win. This isn't cute in April. They want to go and they want to play in October. So they feel like as long as John Danks is off the squad, they're a better team. That's what this move meant. I mean, There's no sugarcoating that. So now they're going to bring up some younger players. Eric Johnson got shelled last night. They've got Jacob Turner, Miguel Gonzalez. I know Tim Lincecum is an option. He pitched a showcase today in Arizona. They're going to be extremely aggressive at trying to find that fifth and final guy.
Do you see the White Sox, you know, having such a strong start, which Rick Hahn said had to happen, making a deal, trying to be aggressive when it comes to trading and trying to get better more than they would in, say, a year where they're middling in the middle of the, you know, five games out, six games out?
This is a time where you go for it. I mean, they didn't make many moves in 2005 because they felt like they were confident with this group. I mean, the only trade they made was for Jeff Blum, who, ironically enough, hit a home run in game three to win the
World
game.
Series.
You know, it worked out for them. But I feel like they need a left-handed bat in the middle of that lineup, and that's been bantied about for weeks now. You know, the Rockies aren't a good baseball team, and they can part with Carlos Gonzalez. That's been a rumor that's been pretty hot. He's a left-handed bat. You know, he can hit anywhere from second to fifth in the lineup, gets on base, good speed, decent outfielder, but he brings some power, and that's a short porch there at U.S. Cellular. It's only 335 to right. So, you know, they don't have many left-handed power bats, and they feel that, you know, if they can get this guy in, I've been told they're aggressive, they are seeking it out, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Carlos Gonzalez in black and white pretty soon.
Wow, that'd be great. All right, so the Cubs, the Crosstown Classic doesn't actually take place until July, and it's a weird one this year, right?
And then two at Wrigley, I believe.
Yeah,
four games.
What a waste. Should be six games, and it should be one weekend and then another weekend. That's bogus.
It should be 10 games. I mean, given how they're playing, I mean, it's been, you know, two of the better teams in the league. But, you know, I expect that both sides of town will be packed. You know, I talked to Matt Bubala about this last night, and he was calling out White Sox fans. He doesn't understand why they don't go to the game when the team is good. And I told him, look, you've got to be good until August or September. That's just the way it is. On the south side, but it's been exciting, Justin. I mean, there's no way around it.
I would say, Sammy, that's the way it is around Major League Baseball. I didn't get a chance to say this to Matt last night because he was harping on me as a Sox fan and why I don't go before Memorial Day. But when I'm watching SportsCenter, watching baseball tonight, and they're showing highlights of some of the best players from Giancarlo Stanton to home runs by Miguel Cabrera or great pitching by, you know, Scherzer or, you know, Strasburg. They're in empty parks. We saw when the Cubs were playing the Pirates. It was empty parks. MLB doesn't seem to be doing that great except for places that are tourist-friendly like Wrigley Field.
And I get in this argument all the time. You know, I try and take my fan glasses off and put on my reporter glasses, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm a White Sox fan from the Southeast side, and I went to games probably four or five times a month as a kid, pretty much through my 21st birthday. So I was always going. I never understood why other people didn't go. That being said, though, I think the comparison between the Wrigley Field attendance and U.S. Cellular Field attendance, like, you can't even compare them. It's not fair. Like, it really isn't. And people always, like, hinge on that. You know, a lot of Cub fans go, oh, well, there were 10,000 people there. That's never going to change. It's not a reflection on the ball club. It's just I never have a solid reason. I mean, it's expensive to go to the ball game now. To bring a family of four, it's probably $500 a night, and I understand that. And that the old joke, as you know full well, is that White Sox fans have more blue-collar fans that have bigger families, and that's always been the joke. But, you know, that's not that far off the map. So, you know, they're going to wait for the team to be playing in a big moment. And you know that if they play well through August and September – that place
no
will
place
fill
to be
up.
Rocking, yeah. Like, I would even say a little bit earlier, July.
Yeah.
The year they went to the...
I don't know. But,
but you know, the year they went to the World Series. When they went to the World Series, the interleague games, I remember specifically, we talked to Aaron Rowan about that game against the Dodgers where they came back and it was a July game and that's when you get weekends at the Cell, nice weather, and they're playing a team and that, you know, that draws. You will see big crowds at the Cell. I'm not saying a Tuesday day game. But definitely, you know, weekends when the Sox are winning.
Yeah, that's fair. I remember Pajinski had a walk-off homer in that game. We were actually at that game as kids. Was an awesome one. But, yeah, it's going to cost you, like you said, a big-name opponent on a weekend in the middle of summer, or they're going to have to be playing well through September. The people will come around, but it's almost like they want you to prove that you're worth their money. I mean, like, it's hard-earned money here on the South side.
That's not right.
You can't disagree with that.
As it should be, Sam. As it should be. Sam Panionovic, WGN Radio Sports, talking Cubs and Sox and the great, great start to the season. Thanks for joining us tonight. Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.